Did you know financial health has declined for the first time in 5 years? At Jack Henry, we're committed to strengthening the connections between credit unions and your members through technology and services that help reduce barriers to financial health. Visit jackhenry.com to learn more.
From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit union people, credit union ideas.
With many players new and old taking more of the small business pie, what can credit unions do to keep up? Hi, I'm Yikeng Yang, Digital Media Design Specialist at CUNA. In this episode of the CUNA News Podcast, I speak with Lee Wetherington, Senior Director of Corporate Strategy at Jack Henry. We talk about how credit unions can develop strategies to serve more small businesses in the midst of financial fragmentation, financial ecosystem disruption, and more. Enjoy. Hey, Lee. Welcome to the CUNA News Podcast. We're very happy to have you on here to talk with us. Why don't we just get started with talking about who you are, a little bit about your background and what you do at Jack Henry.
Sure, Yikeng. Thank you very much for having me. So I am Senior Director of Corporate Strategy at Jack Henry. And to give you the quick cut on what I do, I'm the generalist here. So I'm looking at all of the different tea leaves that we have available to us here in terms of research, primary, secondary, meta-analysis, regular conversations with all of the analysts tracking everything in the financial services industry. And my job is to connect dots, look for connections, and forecast out what the next 1, 3, 5 years looks like, and then work backwards from that to shape strategy and roadmaps, et cetera, for Jack Henry. A lot of what I do, I share with the industry by way of things just like this, conversations with industry groups, just to spread the knowledge and the benefit of what we work on full time at Jack Henry in terms of strategy.
Great. Again, we're very happy to have you on to talk to us here. Credit unions are facing a lot of competition these days, and not just from the usual suspects. Can you talk about what's going on in the marketplace, particularly as it pertains to serving the small business segment?
Yeah, so there's a lot going on, but I think the best way to frame it is that credit unions looking to serve small businesses are squeezed on two sides. First, the top 25 U.S. banks now account for 84% of primary banking relationships with small and medium-sized businesses. Meanwhile, credit unions and other community-based financial institutions have seen their share of primary business banking relationship shrink from 28% of that pie in 2018 to 16% in 2022. And for those of you who can't do math in your head, let me do it for you. That's a 43% drop in community financial institution ownership of primary relationships with small businesses. We usually talk about a certain finite number of players that get most of the press in our industry. We talk about Block, formerly known as Square. We talk about PayPal, Intuit. We talk about banking as a service, fortified e-commerce players for small business like Shopify, who continue to lever payments and specifically the collection of payments to segue small businesses into lending and finance with those third parties, you know, providing small businesses with short-term working capital based on their cash flow and their accounts receivable. But the other side of that squeeze is 20 really innovative neobanks that specialize in small business that have cropped up over the last 3, 4 years or so. And these are typically digital banks and or fintechs who look and smell and feel like banks because of banking as a service, who are targeting sole proprietors, freelancers, and other small businesses by providing cash flow dashboards and visualization, tax management, you know, connection to investors, third-party integrations, payment capabilities, the whole kit and caboodle. These small business focused neobanks include, and I'll just give you the names of a few players, Bluevine, Grasshopper, Novo, Wise, Revolut. Not as many credit unions have heard of these players, but they're the other side of this really fierce competition for the small business pie inside the United States.
That's something new to me, these neobanks. Do you have an idea how much of the percentage of that pie that they've taken up so far?
Yeah, I think you're looking at about, with the neobanks, I think it's about an 8 to 10%, depending on the studies that you look at, piece of that small business pie. I'm not sure exactly how reliable those numbers and estimates are, but especially these niche small business neobanks have been particularly successful in attracting younger businesses, so de novo businesses who are just getting off the ground. So they do a few things really well, and chief among those few things are extending credit to small businesses, micro businesses that don't have any history of credit as a business because they're newly formed. So between those neobanks and, again, the mega banks that have the more than the lion's share of the small business market, we've got a very definite and pronounced squeeze on credit unions and other community FIs in this space.
So why should credit unions care about the proliferation of consumer apps in the marketplace? Who really cares if people have a few dollars sitting in apps here and there on their phones? How bad can that be?
So this is really interesting because a lot of times we don't necessarily think about the proliferation of these consumer financial apps is having anything to do or any impact on serving small businesses. So I want to cover a couple of things in response to this question. First, it's not just a proliferation of apps. Consumers' financial lives are now more fragmented than they've ever been, ever. And I'm saying that emphatically and categorically. The average American consumer uses between 15 and 20 different financial service providers and apps. The average Gen Y and Gen Z couple, they use on average between 30 and 40 different financial service providers. And this fragmentation makes it really difficult to know where a given consumer or couple, for that matter, stands with their money. And without that understanding, it's almost impossible to know what to do next or how to do better. This fragmentation, now combined with inflation and the cost of living crisis many Americans are experiencing now, has driven a decline in financial health this year in 2022. The first decline of its kind, by the way, in the past 5 years. 70% of Americans are now financially unhealthy, according to the latest Pulse survey from the Financial Health Network. But there are other issues afoot here as well. And the primary one is that it's really difficult to distinguish consumer or retail members many times from your micro and small business members. Many of them are using the same account to do both personal money stuff as well as all of the things necessary to run that micro or small business.
So is the threat to credit unions that you see coming from these apps that are focused on small business limited to business accounts?
No. And this gets to something that's really interesting and fairly hidden in our industry. There are two dynamics that are camouflaging the threats posed by these competing financial apps and small business-focused neobanks in particular. First, in the average community financial institution in the United States, somewhere between 13 and 35% of their consumer accounts are actually being used to run micro and small businesses. So these are primarily, you know, solopreneurs and freelancers involving only one person, right? There's not a payroll, there's not an additional person or employees in that micro or small business. By the way, there are 59 million freelancers, gig workers, and sole proprietors in the US. They make up the lion's share of small business in the United States. Second, the so-called, you know, quote-unquote consumer payment apps like PayPal and Cash App that everybody here is familiar with, for example, these lure these camouflaged micro businesses and solopreneurs that are hiding inside of your retail share draft accounts at the credit union. They lure them in with these easy payment acceptance capabilities. And this gives those third-party apps a window onto the micro business owner's cash flow, which in turn is all those third parties need to score creditworthiness of that business and extend credit to those small businesses against their respective payment flows. So as third-party apps add more financial management features over time, often by way of banking as a service and embedded banking capabilities from chartered financial institutions, there are fewer and fewer reasons for your micro business member to use his or her ShareDraft account at the credit union. In most cases, what you thought was a primary relationship becomes, in effect, a zombie account, a temporary sort of way station for member money that travels elsewhere, or worse yet, no longer routes through your credit union at all. So when a micro business or a small business member begins using a third-party app to collect payments, recent studies show that for every $1 deposited into your credit union from that third-party app being used by your member, $7 remains in that third-party app. And this is what, if you zoom out and look at this in the aggregate, this is what we call deposit displacement or deposit attrition. And the camouflage here is that the credit union still thinks that they are the primary financial service provider for that member. And unless they're really paying close attention to their own payment flows and doing analytics on that, they won't know that what they have instead, in effect, are these zombie accounts. So let me map that to the moment that we're in right now. Credit unions for the last 3 years plus have been really flush with deposits as a result of the pandemic, right? But deposit growth has been cut in half over the past year, and total deposits held across all financial institutions are now coming down for the first time in a very long time due to inflation. So within the next 12 to 18 months, credit unions will be fiercely focused on deposits, on deposit attrition, on deposit displacement. And this is why they need to be paying very close attention to these camouflage dynamics with their retail members, but specifically their retail members who are also running micro and small businesses sort of under the covers.
One fact that I found interesting was that out of every dollar that you take out of PayPal, $7 stay in those apps. How does that work? Is that just through like the fees that you pay to deposit from PayPal, or a multitude of things?
No. What's happening is that if you've got a member and they're a gig worker or an independent contractor or a freelancer, and they need to collect payments from whoever is paying them for whatever services they're rendering, many times that is not a capability that the average retail ShareDraft account at a credit union will give them, right? So what do? Well, they start, they look to PayPal, they look to Square, now called Block. They may go to Intuit to collect those payments. And when they're collecting those payments, by way of those third-party apps, the analytics that a small business fintech, by the way, called Autobooks, did this analysis across more than 100 financial institutions, what they discovered is that when your members are using a third party to collect payments for their micro business, right, or for their freelancing, that only one out of every $8 collected makes its way back from that third-party app back to the credit union ShareDraft account. And this is another way of describing or looking at how those third-party apps functionally become the primary money account for those members, even though the credit union might think otherwise, given this huge blind spot that they don't know about the $7 that they never see coming through because it remains in those third-party apps and settings.
So you mentioned financial fragmentation. You may have explained it earlier, but what is financial fragmentation? Is it a threat or an opportunity?
Well, it's both. And by the way, this is not just my opinion, Yikang. If you look at some of the bigger research houses in our industry, Javelin in particular, they at the end actually of the last calendar year rolling into 2022, named financial fragmentation as the defining threat and opportunity for financial institutions of all sizes, going forward over the next 3 to 5 years. And it's because the boundaries, that have historically defined our industry the financial services industry occupied by chartered financial institutions, the boundaries defining that industry have blurred. So I want to talk about that just a minute, and then we'll get to the opportunity, not just the threat that that presents. So financial fragmentation, as we've described it already, is both, like I said, a threat and an opportunity. The good news is that the maturity of our open banking rails in the United States, the established financial data exchange platforms like Finicity, Plaid, Yodlee, Akoya, et cetera, now make it possible for credit unions to solve for financial fragmentation using secure, standardized, API-based aggregation of all of that disparate financial account activity across all of those different financial service providers back to the credit union for a comprehensive and comprehensible view of all the members' money in one place. Now, doing this puts the credit union at the center of their members' financial lives again. And by the way, they haven't been the center of their members' financial lives for a while now, if broadly speaking, because of the ecosystem disruption that we're undergoing. More on that in just a minute. But when a credit union can use these API-based open banking rails through these financial data exchange platforms to aggregate what is otherwise fragmented back to the credit union in a clear, comprehensible view for the member, that's what we call achieving first app status in the context of all this financial fragmentation. And with that 360-degree view of all their accounts at the credit union, the member can now not only understand where they stand with their money, they're now prepared to receive next best product or service recommendations from their trusted credit union. And this, I think, is the biggest opportunity for credit unions over the next 5 years. It's why having a native, secure, in-app means of facilitating impromptu conversations with members is essential for credit unions in this digital-first era. And we can talk more about sort of the superpower of credit unions, but this really speaks to how they can translate their superpower successfully into the digital context generally, but specifically bring it to bear in the context of serving small and micro businesses, freelancers in this digital-first era.
Obviously, the economy has been putting a strain on cash flow lately for businesses, particularly small business. Is there a role for credit unions to play in helping improve the financial health of small businesses, and can they address the problem with technology?
Yeah, so there is absolutely a role for credit unions in helping improve the financial health of small businesses and solo entrepreneurs, independent contractors, and freelancers who comprise the lion's share of small businesses in the U.S., as we mentioned before. Serving small businesses, just to make sure we're all on the same page, serving small businesses is more relationship intensive than serving consumers. And given credit unions are about, you know, people helping people, that's the ethos and the mantra of the movement, this is an important differentiator for credit unions. Megabanks and neobanks, their biggest weakness is not knowing local communities and the local markets being served by small businesses, and B, not having the people with that knowledge available for small businesses to work with, to contact, to ask advice of at the moment of need in digital context. Those are the Achilles heels of the mega banks on one end and these niche small business neobanks on the other that are putting the squeeze on credit unions and other community financial institutions. The good news right now is that with the right embedded fintech strategy, credit unions can quickly and easily match the features provided by the very best small business service providers in the United States. And then if you do that and you add to it the personal service and relationship at the moment of need in digital context that credit unions are uniquely capable of rendering, you've got a winning strategy that neither mega banks nor niche neobanks can match.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, that is the whole point of credit unions, is to be there for their local community. That's just kind of what credit unions do. So it's kind of inherent with that. So same general question as before, but from the flip side, how can these digital tools help improve the financial health of credit unions in this economy?
Yeah, so my friend Ron Shevlin at Cornerstone has written eloquently and persuasively about the what he calls the revenue recession, putting pressure on credit unions, especially in terms of non-interest fee income, right? So credit unions have really led the way in minimizing or in some cases eliminating altogether punitive overdraft and punitive insufficient funds fees, right, on their members. The larger need for credit unions now, however, is to capitalize on their differentiating ethos and service culture in the digital context to meet micro and small businesses where they are, as we've been talking about. Moreover, this is how credit unions can really monetize fee for value, right, instead of fee for punishment, as the prior sort of fee regime at large in the industry has is aptly described. So fees for value, I think, is the only viable way forward and the only business model that will be rewarded over the long term. And I think credit unions have not only led the way, but they're positioned really nicely to be creative in bringing more of those valuable services to bear, specifically for small, micro, even medium-sized businesses that are more than happy to pay for value. You know, the difficult thing in commanding non-interest fee income on the retail side of the credit union is that we have over the last 25, 30 years really cultivated an expectation among retail consumers in the U.S. is that everything's free, right? I should get everything free from my credit union and pay really, really low rates on my auto loans and don't, you know, I should never have to pay for anything. You don't have that same expectation with small businesses. And like I said, if you look at the stats, 13 to 35% of what you think are exclusively retail members of your credit union are actually doing and running small businesses on the side. And if you recognize them as such, you're going to have to do analytics to figure out who that is. Basic analytics on, wait, why is this particular retail account getting so many back and forth kind of inflows and outflows between a PayPal, between to and from a Block or to or from some other third-party app like Intuit. They're very easy to identify, but when you identify them, that will allow the credit union to size and scale the opportunity before them to really bring more valuable service and product feature functionality to those micro and small business owners who, like I said, are more than willing to pay for that value. Even basic payment capabilities like invoice get paid and very simplified cash flow accounting visualization and capabilities, the smallest of small businesses and micro businesses are willing to pay for on a monthly basis. So small businesses specifically, but businesses in general, as I said, they're happy to pay for value, and credit unions are the best at building relationship and providing personal service, which small businesses require in droves, and bringing all that together with the right products and features. That would also include, in addition to what I've already mentioned, tax management capabilities, maybe even later on down the line, inventory management, supply chain management, when a business begins to grow from micro to small or small to medium, not to mention all of the phased kind of lending and finance opportunities that are there for credit unions to take advantage of, and also, of course, monetize through interest income. Really, it all comes together if you truly understand, first identify, and then truly understand the needs of those particular sizes and types of micro and small businesses that are camouflaged in your member base.
So what new digital disruptors do you see on the horizon that we should be aware of? And what should be hitting our radar and why?
So in addition to some of the usual suspects that we've already talked about, you know, Block, formerly Square, PayPal, some of these niche neobanks, and of course the ever-looming mega banks, which are really the ones who have gobbled up most of the small business pie today, credit unions should be aware of what's driving the ecosystem disruption we're experiencing. So I want to just zoom out here for a second. Historically, think of disruption in terms of quote-unquote industry disruption. That is, you know, just what you just asked me. Who is going to come into our industry and begin disrupting us next? And the bad news is, or maybe the good news, we could be of a mind on that, is that that way of thinking is now obsolete. The borders, as I mentioned earlier, the borders and the boundaries that have defined our industry are now dissolving at the hands of banking as a service in all of its flavors, payments as a service, lending as a service, deposits as a service, whereby chartered financial institutions are renting out and embedding their chartered capabilities into non-chartered third-party settings and brands. So if you think about that, the question for now is, what exactly differentiates a chartered credit union from a non-bank third party that has embedded deposits and payments and lending capabilities from a chartered bank or banking as a service provider? And where that gets you is to a broader frame. Instead of thinking about industry disruption, we're now thinking, we're seeing our industry boundaries dissolve, and we have become, in essence, a more loosely sort of connected ecosystem that is coming into full contact with other ecosystems, so that we're now competing against third parties that are not playing the same game that credit unions play. In fact, if credit unions continue to play the old game of just competing against other credit unions, other banks, etc., and they don't recognize the new game of ecosystem disruption and how to navigate that, how to curate experiences, how to build out technological capabilities that enable the platform to act as a platform matchmaker between just the right sort of fintech innovations of choice in the moment that are most relevant to their members, and playing platform matchmaker to bring those innovations to bear and make them available easily to their members at their moments of need over time, then you're not using a wide enough lens on the different type of disruption that we're all now navigating.
Yeah, so it's less of like some new killer app just disrupting everything, and more of just less boundaries within different sectors, and now they're interacting with each other.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, do you think that if you look at even some of the big tech players that we often talk about, whether it's, you know, Facebook or Amazon, et cetera, who have continued to embed more financial service capabilities natively into their platforms, do you think they're playing the same game that credit unions are playing, right? Or other chartered financial institutions are playing? No. For them, financial services are just basically a convenience and an add-on. They're not an end game, right? So their goal's different. They may even, and in fact, in a lot of cases, they look at financial services as just sort of loss leaders that bind a particular consumer in a more sticky way to that particular big tech's ecosystem or platform or app store or whatever the case may be, right? So you have to have this wider lens and understand the different games being played by other ecosystems that our financial service ecosystem is now colliding with. And that can seem overwhelming at first blush, but the good news is, because of things like open banking rails that can help solve for financial fragmentation, put the credit union back at the center of members' lives, the same kinds of things that are causing this ecosystem disruption, if levered correctly, can also solve for it in ways that bring real value back to the member and to the credit union.
All right, so final question here. Digital transformation is clearly a complex, long-term process for any institution. How should a credit union that is just starting on that journey get started? And is there an obvious path?
Yeah, so first, back to what we were just talking about, zoom out. That's number one. Understand the difference between industry disruption and ecosystem disruption. Number two, then zoom in on the unique opportunities that are created by this ecosystem disruption and the abstraction of the tech stack underneath financial services, which is driving that ecosystem disruption. In other words, think strategically about how to take advantage of all of these changes and these new connections connecting our ecosystem to other ecosystems, right? So you want to think strategically about how to embed the most relevant fintech innovations to differentiate your credit union's product service mix to your specific members and member segments, the ones that you serve. You know, and finally, back that up with personal service at the moment of need in the digital context. This is how credit unions can translate and lever their superpower most effectively in this open banking era, especially in terms of the relationship-intensive needs of serving micro and small businesses. And so to wrap up here, over time, you can help micro businesses grow into small businesses, and small businesses grow into medium-sized businesses who will need the ability to do more things, right? Like manage payroll, taxes, inventory, supply chains, et cetera. And all of that is doable with a strategic embedded fintech strategy and platform matchmaking capability that's now available to even the smallest of credit unions out there. So I see this all as a very hopeful, promising picture, as long as you've got the full picture and you start by zooming out.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
70% of the U.S. population is considered financially unhealthy. 70%. This means a staggering number of Americans struggle to save, spend, borrow, and plan in ways that allow them to be resilient and seize opportunities. As a well-rounded financial technology provider, we at Jack Henry recognize our role in bridging this gap by strengthening connections between you and your members through technology and services that help reduce barriers to financial health. We remain committed to fighting the U.S. financial health crisis we face today. Visit jackhenry.com for more information.